We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, TPFL. It's Tuesday. It's May 16th. It's 2023. We have 12 MLB games to talk about here on today's podcast. Joined today by my buddy Keith Eisner, Eyes819. Keith, what's happening, my friend?
Not too much. Just talking about this Monday slate a little bit. Pitching was tough on Monday night. Too much Framber for me. I took some shots on Hunter Green. That did not work out. Got a bunch of Merrill Kelly left, but we'll see. It was a very difficult pitching slate on Monday night. I don't think we're going to have those same issues here on a big Tuesday slate.
Well, what I thought was interesting, like we talked about Green on the podcast yesterday, and I thought like he was super interesting. And then like everybody started talking about Green, and he went from like potentially being like a low owned cores pitcher to like this guy that like pushed 20 to 25% ownership in cores. And I was like, all right, well, that's not going to, you know, that's not what I'm looking for here. So I was telling you, my main team is a Kelly Morton team, and Morton had a game. I didn't expect that, but I mean, we'll take it. So if Kelly can kind of do his thing, and then my main team's an Arizona stack. Hey, it might be an okay night. I might survive like the double dong Aaron Judge night and the big dumper big night, you know, kind of slate. So a lot of runs. You know, we're starting to get warmer. And anytime it starts to get warmer with baseball, man, I feel like we're gonna start seeing more runs. And I feel like just pitchers just in general, like this time of the year, like we see a little bit of, you know, guys going forward, getting velocity and really being better, and guys struggling more. So, I mean, there's a lot paying attention to. So,
you know, Ron said, struggling.
Hold on really quick. Yeah. In chat, Ron says, they said Kelenic would suck. They said Flaherty would suck. They said Houch would be good. Hey, dude, we're not always right. Like I played bats against, you know, Flaherty and it didn't work out. Like I'm perfectly okay with being wrong about Jack Flaherty. And then bats.
That's exactly where I was going. Is where did that come from, Jack Flaherty? Yeah. It has been a really rough go for him. He clearly got back on track. We've talked about Milwaukee not being a great offense, and boy, he just kind of shoved today.
I mean, if there was a lineup that he could excel against, I feel like Milwaukee is the lineup. You know, just thinking about like the left-handed power is Tellis. Well, he had two hits and two walks, so it's not like he had a bad game. But I mean, Yelich isn't a power hitter anymore. Winker is just I don't even know what to say, right? Like, at the end of the day, I don't even know what to say about Winker. But, I mean, the bottom half of that lineup, a lot of strikeouts. But, yeah, I mean, Flaherty, just in a great spot. So, let's shift gears, though. We got 12 games. We got a lot to talk about, a lot to get through. Anytime we get these 12-game slates, there's a lot going on. But, Ron, I know you're just messing with us. It's all good, man. Thanks for hanging out in YouTube. What's up, YouTube? Hope you're having a fantastic Monday night. Let's jump in and get started with the Yankees at the Blue Jays. Speaking of a team that had a really good night on Monday, 8.5 total in this one. The Blue Jays, a 180 favorite with Herman and Gausman facing off in this one. This line is really interesting to me, but do you have any interest here in Domingo Herman?
I don't think I can do Herman on this slate. There is plenty of good pitching on this one. Not like Monday night where we had to pick and choose some uncomfortable options. I don't mind the price on Herman, but the matchup against Toronto is not ideal. Probably don't need him on this one.
Yeah, I mean, the matchup isn't great, but I just, do you want to take a guess, Keith, who has the highest swinging strike rate in baseball this season?
Milwaukee?
No.
Oh, pitchers. Is it Domingo Herman?
He's top five. Okay. Which, I'm just saying.
I mean, Spencer Strider would be my guess.
He's number one. Yeah. Do you know he is sitting at a 20.3% swinging strike rate? Like, if you're just curious how good Spencer Strider is strikeout-wise, that is 4% higher than the second best, Shane McClanahan, if you're just curious how good he is. But I think when you have a guy that has a little bit of ceiling, like Herman does, against a very right-handed heavy team. I mean, this guy has a 28% K rate against righties. He's going to face probably 6, if not 7 righties in this lineup. And then like Belt and Kiermaier are really not guys you're uber worried about. So I think in large field tournaments, Herman's just too cheap. This is a guy that was pushing the 9Ks 2 starts ago. So I think he's going to get some pretty low ownership here. I could see him going out and having like an 8 strikeout game. So I don't hate him for a large field tournament here. Gausman, big favorite here. Gausman's a huge favorite against the Yankees. I mean, I get it, right? Gausman's been fantastic. 2.6 xFIP on the season, 34% K is less than 4% walks, under 150 ISO to both sides of the plate. Gausman's fantastic. We want strikeout pitchers against the Yankees. That's the type of pitcher that you target against the Yankees. 10-7 for Gausman. You know, another guy that's in the top five in swinging strikes is Kershaw, and he gets Minnesota. So we have some ceiling pitchers today. Nothing like yesterday's slate as far as pitchers. What are your thoughts here on Gausman at 10-7?
Yeah, I love him in this spot. He has been incredible this year, like you mentioned. He's racking up Ks at a ridiculous rate. His worst game recently was against Boston, but they don't strike out. Had 9 against Philly, 13 against Seattle, 11 last time he faced this New York team, 11 against Detroit, had another down run against Houston mixed in there as well. But this guy's been racking up 9 to 11 strikeouts pretty much every time out there. New York is a team that has plenty of swing and miss in there. Judge is obviously a big threat, but he will swing and miss also. I think Gausman is among the top tournament options on the slate. Obviously some risk with the power bats for the Yankees. Good park for home runs in Toronto, but I like Gausman quite a bit here.
Yeah, I think he is exactly the type of pitcher that you take shots on against this team. You know, big strikeout rate, able to attack this lineup. I mean... Listen, outside of Judge and Rizzo, this isn't your typical, you know, lineup that we talk about all the time. I mean, there's a lot of weak pieces in this Yankees lineup. So I think Gausman is a fantastic play today. Bats, any interest in the Yankees bats here?
I don't really feel a need to pick on Gausman. Good control guy. Gets quite a few ground balls as well. Like, Judge is the guy you would want to play here. The rest of them are just kind of blah. Rizzo's fine, but I don't think I need to do it when I've got 11 other games to look to. Gausman's one of the more talented pitchers on the slate. No Yankees for me today.
What are the Cardinals doing? They can stop scoring at any time now. I mean, they've proved a point. They can calm down. Yeah, I don't really have a ton of interest in the Yankees bats. I mean, Judge is always someone that I think you can take shots on. And then as far as the Toronto bats, I mean, Kisner just hit a grand slam as I said that.
I thought that's what you just saw. Yeah.
No, I didn't see that one. He was up to bat. All right. So totally sidetracked. I mean, Herman is a guy that gives up a lot of fly balls to lefties. So like Varsho, maybe. Maybe Springer and Vlad, like you could get a little three-man here. But, I mean, not only are you getting a decent pitcher here in Herman, above average, you're getting one of the best – one of the best bullpens in baseball with the Yankees bullpen. So, I mean, it's really tough to stack against the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, I love Toronto as an offense, but they're expensive. Herman's an above-average pitcher, and you just talked about the bullpen. So, lots of spots to choose from on this slate. Don't think Toronto will be a team I'm stacking much.
All right, moving on. We got Seattle at Boston. 9.5 total in this game. The Seattle Mariners are a 154 favorite. Castillo against Pivetta. Any interest here in Luis Castillo?
I don't love the price tag against Boston. Like we've talked about it several times, there's just not a ton of strikeouts here in this Boston lineup. Luis Castillo is one of the best pitchers in baseball. Don't get me wrong. But when I'm comparing him to guys like Gausman in a strikeout matchup, there's a couple of 9K guys that I really like. There's some cheap guys in the 7K range that are really good in really good spots also. If he's low owned, I want some exposure just because he can go out there and strike out anybody, but he's not going to be a top 4 or 5 pitcher for me on this slate. Just because of the matchup, tough hitters park here in Fenway Park, in Boston just doesn't strike out enough. So I'll take some tournament shots if he's low owned, but that's about it.
Yeah. I mean, 10K, tough matchup against the Red Sox, a guy that, I mean, has big strikeout stuff, but he's been hitting. I mean, guys have been hitting him a lot more here recently. And you have a team that, you know, kind of negates that big strikeout stuff in a Red Sox lineup that, I mean, lowest strikeout rate in baseball against right-handed pitching. I know we say it seems like every day, but I mean, it's the truth. So it's facts. But yeah, I mean, we just watched Kirby have a really solid game against my Sox last night. So I'm not saying that like it's not possible. I'm just saying they're not a team that like I typically go out of my way to take pitchers against. And Kirby had a really good game. Had some good BABIP in that game. 8 hits allowed, 6 strikeouts, only 1 earned run, and 6 2/3. So, Nick Pivetta. Hey, I'm not playing this guy.
Never in Fenway Park, right? Like the profile just does not work out in a home run park.
Dude, if you're Pivetta, you're going to like Pittsburgh. You're going to like one of those like San Francisco, San Diego. Like you're going to one of those ballparks. Like the fact that like he signed with Boston, was it last year? It just blew my mind. And I know, coming from
Philly too, which is not a great ballpark for him. Like he's been in home run parks his whole career. So a guy that's probably a better pitcher than the results that he's generated in his career, but I'm not playing him against Seattle here in Fenway Park.
Nope. I love the Seattle bats in this matchup. Pivetta is a guy that gives up a lot of hard contact and a lot of fly balls. I think this is a fantastic spot for Seattle. I think this is a team. Pivetta is a guy that I typically will take, you know, stacks against because he'll tend to walk guys from time to time. And I mean, we know how many home runs he gives up. At least one home run, and I think 5 of 6 of his 7 starts this year, all but one start, he gave up a home run, and the game that he didn't was in Tampa Bay against Tampa Bay. So, yeah, I mean, I love the Mariners stack today.
Tampa Bay would have been a great spot for Pivetta to go on a nice value contract. Yeah! Like he could have had a lot of success in Tampa Bay.
Yeah,
But yeah, I'm with you on the Seattle bats. Kelnick has had an awesome season. Raleigh's coming off a 2-home run game. Julio Rodriguez is starting to heat up now that they've moved him down the order a little bit. Suarez's price has come up, but talk about a profile that lines up well against Pivetta. Crawford's been leading off. He's 3,300 at shortstop. I like the Seattle stack quite a bit.
Gary Hill just hit a home run. He was my favorite place on Monday's slate. So that's a good home run. See, that Kisner home run or Kisner home run, but that Gariel home run. Now we're talking. Now we're getting somewhere. yeah, I mean, overall, I love Seattle. They're a team that I'm going to have a lot of exposure to today. Boston side, listen, I'm going to respect Luis Castillo here. I hope he doesn't go out and have like a 35-point game, but I also don't want to stack against him. If I was going to play guys, it'd be Duran, Devers, and Verdugo.
Yeah, I'm not trying to pick on the elite pitchers on this slate. Luis Castillo is one of those. Maybe he gives up a home run or two here, just moving into the pitcher's park, or the hitter's park, rather. But I'm not. I don't think he gets blown up here by any means. No Boston sacks for me.
I will say that I do love the fact that Boston put Duran in that leadoff spot and Verdugo in that two spot, but I think Devers should be hitting in front of Turner. So if you're asking manager Stevie. Tampa Bay at New York facing the Mets. 8.5 total in this game. Mets, a 164 favorite at home here going up against the Rays. It's an opener situation for Tampa. We're going to get Beeks opening and then Chirinos throwing long relief and then Verlander pitching on the other side of this game for the Mets. Are you touching this long relief situation with Chirinos or Beeks?
I'm not. Beeks isn't going more than one or two innings probably, and Chirinos just hasn't been striking anybody out. Missed a couple years with injury. Seems to be struggling a little bit with the command here recently. He's had four walks in each of his last two, and he's just not striking anybody out. It's been a rough go for the Mets here lately, but I don't think Chirinos is the right guy to try to pick on him with.
It's kind of where I'm at. Right-handed pitchers against the Mets, low strikeouts. Chirinos is not a huge strikeout guy anyway. I mean, this is one of the weak spots for Tampa, this one rotation spot, or four rotation spots now, I feel like.
Too many injuries, man. Just rough deal off to such a great start. And two really good pitchers who seem to be breaking out in Springs and Rasmussen, unfortunately, on the shelf now for quite a while.
Well, it's Springs, Rasmussen, Glass now.
Yeah.
I think I'm missing somebody, too. Anyway, any interest here in Verlander against the Rays?
I definitely prefer Gausman. I think I would take shots on Castillo before that. It's just a really tough matchup here against the Rays. Obviously, great hitters park in Citi Field. Verlander, still one of the best pitchers in baseball. So I wouldn't try to talk you out of it, but I don't feel the need to try to pick on the Rays. Like I said, I prefer Gausman, and I think I'd even go Castillo over Verlander.
If he's going to be low-owned, I don't hate taking some shots because he is capable. I mean, he looked like Justin Verlander last time out is against Cincinnati, you know, temper your expectations a little bit. But I mean, he's been one of the best pitchers in baseball for 10 plus years now. So I think if he's low owned, maybe you take some shots, but it'd be an ownership to play just chasing that ceiling. You know, kind of the same thing I was talking about, Herman. It's just chasing the ceiling of a guy that has ceiling that's going to be lower owned. Bats, any interest in the Tampa Bay Bats here?
No, I'm not trying to pick on Verlander at all.
We had a question in chat. What's his pitch count? He threw 104 pitches in his second start. I'm not worried about his pitch count. Yeah, I'm not. No interest for me in the Tampa side. Mets, Bats. I mean, you're going to get a lefty opener and then a righty long relief guy. I mean, Pete Alonso definitely jumps off the page in that type of situation. He's also really expensive in Citi Field. Lindor, switch hitter that hits both sides really well. I probably don't get to the Mets today unless I'm going like cheap.
Yeah, I don't think I'm getting there either. Like Chirinos has not been great, but he's still been getting some results. Beeks is a solid opener. I love that if Alonso gets up in the first inning against Beeks, that's a great matchup. You could certainly take a shot on Alonso. Probably not a stack for me.
They've been letting Beeks throw like two innings. So I think Alonso gets an at bat against Beeks. Unless they're like, hey, it's Pete Alonso. We're not gonna let him face him. So all right, we got Milwaukee the best team in baseball, the St. Louis Cardinals. a gazillion runs on Monday night. Maybe they used them all up, but 18 runs. Wow, 18-1. 8 total in this game. The Cardinals are 180 favorite. We got Miley and Montgomery facing off against each other. Any interest here in Wade Miley?
No interest in Miley for me. I know the guy, like he'll get his ground balls. The price is cheap, but this St. Louis offense, they're waking up finally, it appears. I still believe they're one of the best offenses in baseball. Miley's not a big strikeout guy. There's cheap pitchers that I would much prefer even underneath him at the $6,500 tag, and I much prefer the guy on the other side of the game.
Nolan Arenado is warming up, like, and he is so good against left-handed pitching. So what does he have, 4 home runs now straight? Four games in a row?
Yep.
So it gets Wade Miley here. I mean, if you're a Cardinals fan, you got to like the fact that he's warming up. Dude, Montgomery might be one of my favorite pitchers on the slate. I know, like, it's a broken record by now from me, but Milwaukee's awful. They are awful against left-handed pitching. And I know Jordan Montgomery is just a guy that's so tilting sometimes, but this is a matchup he should excel in and put up 20-plus fantasy points.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. I think point per dollar, he is my favorite pitcher on the slate. You've talked about how bad Milwaukee's been against lefties many times when I'm on the podcast with you. So I had to go check some numbers before I jumped on. They're still the worst in baseball against lefties. Over 30% strikeouts now against left-handed pitching. So even though Montgomery's strikeouts have been down, the price in this situation is amazing, and there is a ton of upside here for Jordan Montgomery.
He's even Dave just posted he's 8-6 on FanDuel. He's even someone that I would consider playing on FanDuel today with a quality start, win upside, saving some money price-wise. This is a game that I think, like, we could see Jordan Montgomery just kind of throw 6 or 7 really good innings. And like, the top-end guys are all over, like, 10K today over there. So I think he's very playable on FanDuel as well. There is another guy in that range that we'll talk about when we get there on FanDuel. But, yeah, Jordan Montgomery, too cheap on DraftKings today.
Yep.
Milwaukee Bats. Dude, they have the third lowest ISO. They have the lowest WRC+. They have the highest strikeout rate. There's nothing in this lineup that screams play me outside of Contreras. And I don't know. I mean, the one thing that Contreras does have going for him here is he's facing his brother.
Yeah, I mean, he is a catcher with some power and has been really good against lefties in his career. So I do like the William Contreras call. I could also be talked into some Brian Anderson and the outfielder that just came back. Taylor is 2,200. He's been pretty good against lefties in his career also. It's a little 3-man at most for me, and it's only because I think Montgomery is going to catch some ownership. A fantastic spot for Montgomery. Milwaukee's not a full stack, but I don't mind stacking up 3 righties here if you want to.
They're brothers, right?
Now, yeah, William and Wilson.
Yep. Yeah, I was going to say, they had me questioning in chat. I was like, I thought they were brothers. All right.
Yeah, for sure.
Messing with my head here. All right. St. Louis Bats. I don't mind looking at some St. Louis righties here. Like, they're so expensive that I think if you're playing them, you're probably going to have to stack them. Just because of the price on Goldschmidt and Arenado. I think the stack is viable today. Checking really quick to see. It's going to be 70. It's not terrible. Weather-wise, I was looking at the weather.
Yeah, I'm interested. I know Miley's not a guy that tends to get blown up a bunch. He gets a lot of ground balls, but there's some fly ball hitters here for St. Louis. I think Goldschmidt and Arenado are certainly the two you want to look at first. Contreras has had ground ball problems. Wilson version, that is. Has had a ground ball profile, so don't love him. I definitely prefer his brother on the other side. But St. Louis does have some cheap bats here that makes this stack work. Paul DeJong at 2,800 at shortstop. Love that. Yepez has been in the lineup against lefties here recently. He's 3,100. I really like him as well. So there's cheap pieces to help you pay up for the Goldschmidt and Arenado. Edmund, definitely need him leading off. I don't love the price on him. But again, the cheap stuff kind of helps make it all come together.
Derek says, I don't understand stack or nothing. Why can't you just do a one-off of the power guys? You can. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying that when you have a guy like Goldschmidt as a one-off at 5,900, it's really tough to kind of make it all work. Like if you want a one-off Arenado or Goldschmidt, no one's ever going to tell you don't do that. It's just they're pricey. All right. Atlanta at Texas. Where are we heading next? Texas. No total in this game. It sounds like we're going to get Jared Schuster. That's what it sounds like. So we'll see. And then Dane Dunning got moved back a day. So, yeah, I mean, talk to me here. Do you have any interest in Jared Schuster? I'm assuming it's going to be him.
No interest in Schuster. Texas lineup has been really solid, surprisingly, this year. Corey Seager is on the verge of returning. Obviously, it'd be lefty-lefty. I'm not sure if he makes it back for this game. But they've said it for a couple of days now that, Seager could be activated any day, which just makes the lineup even deeper. Schuster's had a rough go in, his couple of starts here. He was with them from opening day. He made two starts early in the season. They did not go well. He's a decent prospect. I don't think he's quite ready. Atlanta's dealt with several injuries in their rotation also this year. I think I'll take a pass here against Texas.
The other name that I was seeing thrown around was Dylan Dodd to start this game. And Dodd's a good control guy. He's a lefty as well. Either way, I don't have a ton of interest in either one of these guys. Texas is a top three team in baseball against left-handed pitching this season. So, even Dodd, we saw him for three starts. And he had a pretty low strikeout rate as well. So, and he wasn't generating hardly any strikeouts and a ton of fly balls. So, I mean, if it's Dodd, I have more interest in the Texas bats too. Dane Dunning, I'm not playing Dane Dunning against the Braves.
So I will say of the pitchers below, Montgomery at 7,400, I think you could take some shots if you absolutely need the salary. Dunning's been pretty good. I know he's not a huge strikeout guy, but the Braves do offer some strikeouts. It's a very risky spot. Obviously the Braves are loaded with power, but Dunning has been pretty solid in his last couple of starts. The biggest issue is the leash. He's only been in the low 70s with his pitch count in his two starts. Maybe you get 80 out of him, probably unlikely, but it's the $5,300 price tag. I think he's the best option below 7K if you need somebody.
Oh man, I just had like the two longest yawns ever. If you're a NASCAR premium subscriber and you watch the shows, you're laughing right now. Atlanta bats. I mean, they're expensive. I know, we keep saying this, but Dunning is a guy that I think is a guy you could potentially pick on. Atlanta, they're another team that had a really good Monday night. Dunning. I mean, it's so hard because Dunning worked out of the bullpen a little bit this season. So his numbers overall are a little skewed. I think this is a spot you could take some Atlanta bats.
I mean, you can always take shots on Atlanta bats. They were my absolute favorite stack on Monday night. I had more exposure to them than anybody. Unfortunately, got pitching wrong, so that it didn't work out. I prefer him against lefties, and Dunning is in a little bit better spot. I said it comes with a ton of risk because this Atlanta lineup is very powerful. They're expensive, and I have some respect for Dunning. I think that there is some talent in this pitcher. I don't like them anywhere near as much as I did on Monday night, but they're certainly in play just because they're always going to offer as much upside as anyone on the slate.
Yeah, I can't stop yawning. I'm tired. just flat out tired. That's what it is. All right. Yeah. I mean, whether it be Dodd or Schuster, I think that Garcia, Young, Heim, Duran, are all very playable here for Texas. I think both of these guys, I mean, at the big league level so far have struggled, with just strikeouts. So I don't hate it, man.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like Texas. No matter which young lefty is going, Texas is absolutely in play. Simeon up at the top of the order, also 5,800. Love Heim against lefties. The price is kind of adjusted, but he's had a solid season. Same with Josh Jung. If Seager makes it back, he's 5,100, but he's handled lefties okay in his career, so he's playable if he does come back. This Texas stack is not cheap, but it's a pretty good spot for him.
Ozuna just homered, according to Ron in chat. He was my home run play on the extra survey today.
Nice.
All right, we got Cleveland at Chicago taking on the White Sox. Bieber and Lance Lynn facing off in this one. No total in this game. Any interest here in Shane Bieber?
Yeah, I do, because the 9K price tag, like, he is not the same 30% strikeout pitcher that he has been. He had a great outing against Detroit last time out, which is to be expected. A little tougher matchup here against the White Sox, but I still wouldn't put them in an elite category of offenses by any means. And he's not 10K, he's 9K. So I think Bieber's in play, probably more as an SP2. I want upside from my pitcher, so I like him better on DraftKings. I don't know what his FanDuel price is, so unless he's even cheaper on FanDuel, I'm concerned about upside, but I think he can have a really solid outing here. The leash is very good. He's been over 100 pitches a couple of times this season. Still a little strikeout stuff in there, but he's going to be more in like the 22 to 24% range than he is upper 20 strikeouts. So concerned about the upside, but should have a pretty decent clean outing here.
Second highest priced pitcher on FanDuel, for what it's worth.
Yeah, don't love that.
Yeah. I love the fact that he's coming off of a really good start. Gets a White Sox team that, I mean, we can continue just to say that's underperforming this season for the talent. I mean, not even this season. It feels like 2 years now.
Yep.
Lance Lynn, you know.
They're tempting us.
They are. They are tempting us. Dude, I don't hate it. I want to see what the lineup looks like overall, but we're so quick to like judge how bad like Oakland is and like how bad Kansas City is and how bad Detroit is. Cleveland is right there. They're like right there. Like they have a 79 WRC plus against right-handed pitching this season. That's the third worst. That's worse than Kansas City. That's worse than Chicago, worse than Miami, worse than Oakland. Like, if he gets a favorable, like, right-handed heavy lineup here, I mean, you're really just worried about Jose Ramirez. Lance Lynn's going to get 100 pitches. Like, he's cheap. So I don't think it's crazy to have interest in Lance Lynn today.
I don't think it's crazy either. And it's been a rough go for Lance Lynn. The issue with Cleveland, like, you're right, they're one of the worst offenses, but they still don't strike out a ton. And that limits the upside, which is why we don't like attacking them as much as Oakland and Detroit and Kansas City.
Right.
They just don't strike out as much. I still have interest. Like the $7,100 price tag is very intriguing. Like you said, we know we're getting 100 pitches out of him. He has probably the best leash of anyone in baseball. Has been over 100 pitches in four of his last five starts, upper 90s in every start this season. So you're getting the pitches. It's, can he keep the ball in the park? Can he not walk a bunch of guys? And can he rack up some strikeouts against a low strikeout offense is the only concern. You don't even need that many, though. At 7,100, if he goes six clean innings with six strikeouts, that's a smash at 7,100. So the price tag puts him in play. Even though the matchup is not a high upside one, he should be able to pitch fairly deep into this game.
I think the price is the upside point.
Yep.
Like, you know, the matchup's not, but the price is. Let's talk bats. I mean, you could always play Jose Ramirez against Lance Lynn. I don't think anyone's going to talk you off of that. I don't hate maybe going like a Josh Naylor as well. But overall, I don't have a ton of interest in Cleveland.
Yeah, I'm looking for home runs here. Jose Ramirez is far and away the number one option. Naylor and Bell, if you're looking for something cheaper, probably not going to stack. Just, I don't love the pricing in the mid-range guys like Kwan's 4,400, Jimenez 4,100. Like they're fine, but it doesn't excite me. And I don't think Lynn gets blown up in this spot, but you can certainly try to find a home run here.
White Sox bats against Bieber. Grandal's banged up. We don't know if he's going to be in the lineup or not. Dealing with a hamstring. I know he sat Sunday. They did not play on Monday. So now he'll be looking at an extra couple days. Any interest in the White Sox here?
No interest in the White Sox. Bieber is still a very good real-life pitcher. Should be able to limit the damage here. White Sox have underperformed again this season, so not going to try to pick on Bieber with him.
Yeah, I mean, not a spot that I love overall for the White Sox today. So, Kick off the new year with new gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable sun goggles, and much more. Shady Rays is an independent sunglass company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn, durable frames, and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. That's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair. No questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after your purchase. With Shady Rays, you can look good and feel good. To date, they have donated over 20 million meals to fight hunger with Feeding America. If you don't love them, exchange them for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. Exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the new year. Go to ShadyRays.com and use code ROTOGRINDERS for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. That is ShadyRays.com, code ROTOGRINDERS. Try for yourself. The shades rated 5 stars by over 200,000 people. We got Cubs, we got Astros, we got Steele, and we have Javier facing off against each other here. 7.5 total. Astros are 172 favorites. Any interest in your boy Justin Steele here?
Love Justin Steele as a pitcher. Don't love this price tag. Don't love the matchup. 9,500 is just a little bit too much to ask here against Houston. Like, the strikeout upside is not phenomenal in this spot. He hasn't been getting a ton of strikeouts. Like I said, he's been having an awesome season. Good for him. I just don't think I'm paying 9,500 for him on this slate.
Yeah, not a ton of strikeouts here. I don't think this is a spot against Houston. There is, I do think for what it's worth, there's going to be a lot of ground balls hit in this game. So if BABIP is in his favor, 6 or 7 innings, 3 strikeouts, 4 strikeouts, couple runs. I just don't know if that's enough. Javier on the other side of this game. I mean, this is a 29% K rate guy. Big strikeout stuff against righties. It'd be really interesting to see what the Cubs lineup looks like, but this is a lineup thing. If they're going to have 5-6 righties, I think you could play some Christian Javier because of his strikeout ability. If there's going to be 5 or 6 lefties, maybe not as much, even though there's not a ton of left-handed power in this lineup. So I think it's just kind of looking to see what lineup the Cubs roll out there, because I think Christian Javier definitely has some ceiling here today.
Yeah, I love the strikeout upside for him in this matchup. Nico Horner's been leading off all year, has a very low strikeout rate. He's currently on the IL. So we're probably going to get Chris Morel in the lineup, who has been a 30% strikeout guy. Wisdom is probably in there. Bellinger left early. I don't know if he actually left the game. I saw him get banged up right when we were jumping on the podcast, so keep an eye on that. That would be a huge deal if Bellinger is not able to go in this spot for Javier. But
it was
with no Horner in the
catch. It was a diving catch for Bellinger, and I think it was his leg.
Did he came out of the game, right?
Yeah,
I saw the trainers look at him and then didn't look back up. But yeah, so if Bellinger's out of the lineup, Javier jumps another notch for me, and I already like him quite a bit here. Like you said, lineup does matter. The Cubs probably platoon a little bit here, but you're still going to get plenty of righties in there. Like, I think Wisdom stays in there. Swanson will be in there. Suzuki will be in there. Morel, I think, he might be the one guy that sits. Hosmer's probably in there over Mancini, but like, this, it's just not that imposing of a lineup against righties. I much prefer the Cubs lineup how they set up against lefties. So good spot for Javier, added strikeout bonus with Horner on the IL.
Any interest in the Cubs bats today?
I mean, you can always hunt for a home run against Javier. He has one of the highest fly ball rates in baseball. Ian Happ is the one that jumps out to me, $4,100. Hits better from the left side of the plate. Good fly ball profile, left-handed. Bellinger, if he's in there, is certainly in play as well. Probably not stacking against Javier. I think he's too tough on the righties, but I could roster a lefty or two and try to find a home run.
Yeah, I mean, so far, Morel has shown that he can hit fastballs, and that's where That's where you do your damage against Javier. Like, nasty, nasty slider. So I think you could take some shots on him. I mean, you've been talking about him, I feel like, for a week now, over a week. Very talented hitter. So I think he's super interesting. But overall, I don't have a ton of interest in the Cubs. And I don't honestly have a ton of interest in Houston. I think, like, a guy like Bregman, who typically hits the ball up in the air a lot, is interesting here. Against the ground ball pitcher in Steele, but Steele is I don't even know if I would say he's an above average, but he's really close to an above average ground ball pitcher from what we've seen so far. So, I mean, when you're looking at like Tucker and Pena and these guys, they just hit the ball on the ground so much. So like I have an interest in Bregman. Just like the chat's mentioned in McCormick. McCormick hits the ball on the ground 50% of the time. Like, he's going to put the ball in play here. He's a low strikeout guy. Great numbers against lefties. He just, a lot of the time it's on the ground.
Yeah, I don't love the Houston stack. Steele is just, he's a really good pitcher. He's a little bit, I'm not trying to compare these guys. Framber's is definitely a better pitcher, but he's in that profile. Like, Framber's just the extreme version of what Justin Steele is trying to do. Like, he's going to keep the ball on the ground. He'll get four or five strikeouts, but he generally doesn't get blown up. He's done a better job of keeping the walks in check this season as well. He's taken a step forward, and he's legitimately an above average pitcher now. So I don't think I want to pick on him here. I don't mind trying to find a home run. It's like there's not many great options. The Braves had a really rough year. He did have a couple of hits on Monday night. McCormick's profile isn't great, like you mentioned. Maybe Jolks is in the lineup. He's cheap. Like, if some of these platoon righties are in there, a Jolks or a Myers, somebody like that, I don't mind. If you're saving money on a three-man, I could get behind it. But I'm not full-stacking Astros for sure.
Yeah, like McCormick, he has two home runs on the season. I mean, again, and like Abreu, he did hit a double. You're right. He did hit a double. all right, we're moving on to Coors. We got Cincinnati at Colorado. Coors did not disappoint on Monday night. We don't know for certain. It sounds like it'd be Williamson making his debut. What a terrible place to make your debut. Hey, you're getting the call up today, and you know, Brandon Williamson, you're gonna start your first career start, and you're gonna be pitching in Coors, and you don't have over commanding powerful stuff. We're gonna throw you out there because you're gonna get blown up, and we need you to just throw some innings here. Overall, you're not, I know I'm not, do you have any interest in Brandon Williamson?
No, absolutely not. He's a guy who had some prospect pedigree coming into this year, but it's been a rough go for him down in AAA. I was looking at some numbers.
It was like earlier. That last year too, though.
Yeah, like his stuff has taken a big step backwards here in the last 2 years. Once upon a time, he was a decent prospect for them, but he's definitely fallen off here in Coors against the Rockies, who are better against lefties. No thanks.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Seattle saw something with this guy, and that's why he's in a Reds uniform. But ever since, like, when he made the jump from AA to AAA, he just really hasn't had the same juice. So a guy that struggled with fly balls in the minors, and you're going into Coors, tough spot for him today. Hey, Chase Anderson's pitching today. Aren't you excited? I'm excited. Yeah.
Excited to play some Reds.
No. Yeah. Don't play Chase Anderson.
Nope.
Dave in chat wants to know if we know Williamson's pitch mix. It's a fastball, slider, changeup. I'm 85% sure.
You are correct. I think he's got a curveball in there too. And they breaking all like
ball. Like breaking ball.
Yeah, it looks like, according to the scouting report on Fangraphs, he throws both of them, and they all grade out his average to slightly plus, but he has not shown that stuff in the last year plus. Like you said, ever since the jump to AAA, the strikeouts have come down quite a bit. The walks are way up, so something isn't quite right with this guy. I think he's just the only option that they have. He's already on the 40 man. So that's probably why he's getting the start here. It certainly is not because of his AAA performance.
Definitely. Yeah. Not getting promoted because of what he's doing. All right, let's talk bats. Yeah. I mean, this is a great spot for Cincinnati. For some reason, we're going to have Matt McClain at minimum salary again today, because that's fun. Yeah, I mean, I wish they would just call up De La Cruz, too. Like, find a spot for this kid. I know, like, they're trying to convert him to a middle infielder after being, like, a catcher, but he's uber talented, and, like, he's someone that I... Like, dude, just do it. Like, what? Just do it. Like, who cares? You're terrible. Get these guys at bats, but... Red Stack, they're great today. Chase Anderson's bad. Like, I don't want to disrespect the man, but as bad as Siebold is, like, Chase Anderson might be worse.
Yeah, I agree. I was underweight on the Reds on Monday night. I'm not sure that I can do that here against Chase Anderson. It's been a rough go for several years now for him. Has long had a hard contact problem. You put that in Coors Field, I don't think it turns out well here. I don't think the Reds are a great offense, but this is a great spot for them. And they're all cheap again. India is priced up. Stevenson is pricey. Outside of that, it's all very, very reasonable. Fraley at 4,200 is probably my favorite option.
He's your favorite option.
Yeah, because he's minimum price.
2K shortstop they hit him second yesterday.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Good for them. Good for them. Calling up one of your top prospects and not hitting him eighth. Good for you.
Yeah. Agree. Steers cheap again. Like Fairchild, if he's in there, is 2,600. Like it depends on what they do with the lineup between Ramos, Myers. Like all these guys are under $3,500 again. The Reds are once again the top stack on the slate.
Chris Bryant might be the best play in the slate today. A lefty that you can attack. I think that Chris Bryant throughout his career has hit left-handed pitching very, very well. So ton of interest in Chris Bryant. Honestly, I have interest in all of these bats today. Grichik, I think this is a great spot for Grichik. So dude, yesterday's total was 11.5. In this game, do we think we see a 12.5 line today? Like I wouldn't even be shocked if it's higher than that.
Yeah, I think it will open at 12.5. The pitchers are worse than they were yesterday. There was even some rain threat too. So I think 12.5 might be the number, which is insane.
Just kind of talking about the Rockies bats. Doyle, he's 2,900. This is a kid that grades out with a lot of raw power and a lot of speed. He got called up here recently. He's someone that, I mean, he has 6 stolen bases already this year. So he's a guy that I really like in this spot. Yeah, I mean, overall, like you couldn't tell me a Colorado bat, and I don't think I'd say no today.
Yeah, I'm completely there with you. Diaz has been hitting in the middle of the order against lefties, so like third middle of the order. Agree with you on Bryant. He is probably the top bat on the slate. Love Grichik. Love the cheap guys as well. Doyle's a great call. A ton of speed from that guy also. So you've got a power-speed combination there. Even if he's buried in the order, still love that at 2,900. Tovar is a prospect with some pop at 3,100. I didn't like the Rockies at all. In fact, I played Hunter Green against them Monday night, but Tuesday here against Williamson, who has not been able to get AAA hitters out, now goes into Coors. Colorado is right up there with the Reds today for me.
The kid they called up towards the end of last year got promoted with the CJ Crone move today. Michael Toglia. He could potentially be in the liner. Big power guy. Struggled a little bit at the major league level last year. He's been really decent in AAA this year. 236 ISO. Strikeouts are still his biggest thing, but I think the matchup kind of warrants playing him a little bit here. But this is a guy that had a 178 WRC plus in AAA last year, and I think his like 20 game stint before he got called up. So he went from starting the season in AA quickly to AAA, quickly to majors last year. So I think getting some more AAA at bats helps him a little bit, but yeah. he is 2,900 as well. So getting some cheap Rockies bats in a great matchup today. All right, Arizona at Oakland. 9 total in this one. The Diamondbacks are 154 favorite. We got Henry and Moeller facing off against each other. Any interest here in Tommy Henry?
No, thanks. I know Oakland is not great. They are better against lefties than they are against righties, though. Tommy Henry, there's just no upside there. I actually like some Oakland bats today.
We might have to get to the points where we stop saying Oakland's like terrible, for what it's worth. I'm just saying their bullpen and their pitching is atrocious, but their hitters, like 3 weeks ago, they were the worst team in baseball against right-handed pitching. They're 20th now. So they are quickly climbing the WRC plus, the numbers. They're still striking at an insanely high rate. Like, don't get me wrong. We all play Kelly because they strike out at a huge clip. They are not a bad team against left-handed pitching. I've been talking about it all year. They're top 10 team. Tommy Henry's not a great pitcher. Oakland's another team that I like today. Probably more for secondaries, but we'll talk about them in a second. Moeller. Nope.
Yeah, no thanks.
Nope. I'm paying attention because, like I said earlier, my main stack today is Arizona. They went to the bullpen in the fourth inning. That bad bullpen is already getting used up a lot here. Kyle Moeller, you're in a rough spot, my friend.
Yeah, he might have to wear one today. If they are using the bullpen up on Monday night, he might be out there to get beat up a little bit. Arizona's going to be, if I'm looking outside of Coors, Arizona's probably my favorite stack. I like them better against righties, but there's still plenty of power here against lefties. Christian Walker should be back in the lineup. He's only 4,100. Absolutely love that. Gurriel at 3,900. Longoria has been playing against lefties and still has some power, 3,300. Like, don't get me wrong. I like the lefties too. They're expensive. Carroll, Marte, Rojas. If any of them are in there, all absolutely playable. I'm not afraid of Moeller even in a left-on-left matchup. But really love Walker and Longoria in particular. Ahmed's a cheap shortstop. Moreno should be catching again. He's still only 2,800. Absolutely love him. Arizona's one of the top stacks of the day.
Yeah, different ballpark. This would be the top stack of the day. Listen, I'm going to be on Arizona a lot in this series, and we're going to be on bats against Oakland all year. The bullpen just so bad that, you know, you have to have interest here. So, you know, as bad as Gurriel has been against left-handed pitching this season, he's a top hitter on the slate. Marte is a top hitter. Walker got the day off on Monday, so great for him to, you know, get a day off. I think he's going to be a guy that we're going to play quite a bit here. Don't forget about Longoria. He's really good throughout his career against left-handed pitching. I know, like, it's towards the end. Rivera will be the higher-owned, like, third baseman of the two, and they're both really cheap. So, Marino, $2,800 catcher in this spot. Yeah, I mean, I don't, like you mentioned, and don't be afraid to play the lefties, because if they get to Moeller in the third or fourth inning here, you're getting the bad bullpen again. And they like the guy they brought in was a lefty too, so they're already using up one of their lefty arms here on Monday night. Oakland, dude, I like Oakland today. I have a ton of interest in Roker. I have a ton of interest in like Ruiz and Perez. I mean, just kind of seeing who's potentially in the lineup, but these guys are really cheap. So if you're like going high end pitching and you need like a secondary sack, I think Oakland is a team you're looking at today.
I'm right there with you. I really like how they set up against Henry and lefties in general. Rooker, I am completely buying into this breakout. Like, he's all really of the good stat cast, like, and everything backs it up. Underlying metrics and everything. It looks very real. The dude has a ton of pop, especially against lefties. Awesome spot for Rooker. I know the price is coming up. Don't care. Absolutely love him. Langeliers is a catcher with power. Ruiz has all kinds of speed. He's going to run every time he gets on base. Laureano is 3K. Perez, the catcher, 2,700, gives you another catching option here. Jesus Aguilar has power against lefties for sure. Jordan Diaz can fill second base for really cheap. I probably play it more as a three-man stack, but I don't even hate the full Oakland stack. On a 12-game slate, that's wild to say, but this is a better offense against lefties. They're extremely cheap. If you want to pay up twice for for pitching and full five-man Oakland, I'm on board with it today, I think.
It's crazy. You can make a 4-4 of this game as a whole and just hope for a ton of runs, and you get such good pitching with it because both the stacks are so cheap. The one thing that I will say, like a guy like Kevin Smith, who will be in the lineup today, he's really cheap, but as soon as a right-handed pitcher comes in, he gets taken out of the lineup. So I would avoid guys like that. But yeah, I mean, Oakland, great spot. How many calls do you think Oakland's got about Roker already? You have to think he's someone that is high up on everyone's list of like, hey, what do you want for that guy?
Yeah, for sure. The only knock on him is his defense, just talking real life baseball. Like he's not even great in the corner outfield.
There's so a
he's pretty much DH. Yeah, DH only. But the bat is absolutely real.
And that's there's all a DH for fantasy. Like, I mean, who would you rather have DH in for you, Nelson Cruz or Roker right now?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's definitely Roker.
I'm just saying. Yeah, I mean, a guy that wasn't even like a top 100 prospect or anything like that, he's hitting. Came over from Minnesota, didn't have the best success with Minnesota, and I mean, he's just hitting. So he's been around. It's not like this is his first
year. No, he's like 28, I think.
Yeah, so I would be shocked if they're not getting calls on him. So
yeah.
He has like a one-year $700,000 contract. I looked it up the other day, so I would be shocked.
Well, and he's controllable through arbitration after that too. So
yep,
like he's that not guy, even going to be expensive
they're getting
for like
calls.
3 or 4 years.
They're getting calls. All right, Kansas City at San Diego. We got Lugo and Singer facing off against each other here. 8.5 total. The Padres are 195 favorites. Any interest here in Brady Singer?
I don't think so against San Diego. The price is intriguing. If we didn't have both Montgomery and Lynn for just $1,000 more or so, I think I could talk myself into him as the cheap option. Who was there? There was another cheap guy I said that I don't mind. Dunning, I think also I would play over him just because of the matchup. I think Singer's ultimately a better pitcher. He had a really rough start to the season. Had a decent outing last time against the White Sox. The price is very intriguing. I think he's a better pitcher than 6,100. I don't love the matchup. I think there's better options on the slate today, but I wouldn't try to talk you out of it if you were interested.
I know as we were recording, Machado left the game, so I don't know if that's anything to kind of note. It's definitely worth noting, not saying that. I'm just saying we'll see if anything comes out of that or not. So, yeah, I mean, Singer's biggest issue is he gives up a ton of power to both sides and a lot of fly balls to lefties. I mean, that's just the biggest concern when you're looking at Brady Singer. And, I mean, it's definitely a spot you should have some interest in Juan Soto. We'll talk about him in a minute. Any interest in Lugo on the other side here at 8K?
I do. Lugo's been really good. Surprisingly, like just the Mets, for whatever reason, never let him start. He's come over to San Diego, and he's put together a really solid season. Kansas City strikes out a bunch. They're one of the worst offenses in baseball. I definitely prefer the 7K guys, but if Lugo's going to come with low ownership, he's in play here against Kansas City, who is not very good.
Yeah, I think Seth Lugo is a guy that's just another guy in this 8K range that's playable today. You know, we've talked about Herman, we talked about like Montgomery. He's just another guy in this range. We talked about like Lance Lynn. So I don't think there is like a stellar guy under 6K today by any means. So like living in the 7K range, I think is fine. So I think he's playable. Good ballpark, good offense to face in Kansas City. They're a team that they don't have a ton of power against right-handed pitching. They strike out a lot. So Kansas City bats, any interest here in the Royals?
I mean, you can always talk me into a Sal Perez one-off. Bobby Witt Jr. is great. Vinny Pascantino is a power bat that's still fairly cheap. Melendez has been playing every day in the outfield. He did lose that catcher eligibility on DK at least, which is not ideal. You have to play him in the outfield now, which makes sense. It's not wrong. It was just nice to be able to plug him in as a catcher. Not a stack for me, I don't think, just because the ballpark in San Diego isn't great. Lugo's had a solid season. A three-man, maybe. If you went Witt, Perez, Pasquantino, or Perez, Pasquantino, Prado is a cheap guy with a bunch of power. Not a full stack for me, but you could talk me into about three of them.
San Diego side of this game, I mean, obviously ton of interest in Soto. Love this matchup for Soto. Like, Singer is a guy that gives up a ton of fly balls. Soto tends to hit the ball on the ground too much against right-handed pitching. So love this matchup for Soto, Carpenter, Cronenworth. If Machado's out of there, maybe we get a good lineup spot for Carpenter as well. What are your thoughts here on the San Diego bets?
Yeah, I don't mind it because Singer has had his struggles this year. I really like the Soto call, Cronenworth. If Machado's out of there, maybe Kim gets a decent bump in the lineup. Carpenter is really cheap. Depending on who catches, I think I would prefer Sullivan at this point. Neither of their options are great at catcher, but they're both cheap. I don't know if it's a full stack for me just because of the ballpark. And like, you have to pay, like, if you want to go Tatis, Soto, and Machado, if he's in there, or even Bogarts, like, it's an expensive stack. And I do have some respect for Singer as a pitcher, even though he struggled a little bit. Probably more of a three man for me or home run hunting, but definitely. Singer's a guy who can give up plenty of hard contact.
What's crazy is any shortstop not McLean today is not chalky.
Right.
He was like 40 to 45% owned in like everything that I looked at today. And I don't think that changes with those pitchers in course tomorrow.
No.
Philadelphia at San Francisco. 7.5 total in this game. Pick'em game. Wheeler and Cobb facing off against each other. Zach Wheeler, I mean, I like this spot for him today. We know, like, Wheeler is a above-average strikeout pitcher. We know that the Giants just put Jock Peterson on the 10-day DL or IL, whatever the heck it's called nowadays. So they're losing one of their left-handed bats. They've already lost Yaz, one of their other good left-handed bats. Like, I think we're starting to get to the point where, you know, the strikeouts for the San Francisco lineup is going to be even more playable with right-handed pitching now.
Yeah, I love this spot for Wheeler. And 9,200 is a very attractive price tag. I said Montgomery might be my favorite point per dollar. Wheeler's in that conversation too.
10-7 last start against the Blue Jays.
Yeah. Like, this is a dude who has, like, I know he hasn't been quite around the 30% mark recently, but it's last year, I believe he was around like 28%. There's massive strikeout upside here. The Giants strike out plenty. This is a great spot for Wheeler. 9,200. It's $1,000 too cheap, in my opinion. I think the cash game pairing is Wheeler and Montgomery on the slate. It's pretty obvious they're two clearly underpriced pitchers.
Yeah, I love that call. And I don't even hate Alex Cobb on the other side of this game. I mean, I think both pitchers very playable in this game. Cobb is a guy that hasn't shown like big strikeout ceiling this year, but we know he's a guy that can put up 25 plus. What are your thoughts on Cobb at 8,700?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on board with that as well. Philly getting the massive ballpark downgrade, going from Philly into San Francisco, like, just drastically different from a home run perspective. Cobb has been really solid. Their strikeout upside, the leash has been extended on him. Like, that's been a problem in the past, is that he wasn't getting into that upper 90s pitch range. Now he's been over 100 in his last three of his last four. They're letting Alex Cobb go. We haven't seen a ton of strikeouts recently, but it's in there. This is a guy whose stuff took a jump late in his career after he went and visited Driveline and picked up like 3-4 miles an hour on his fastball before last season. He's been dealing with injuries all last season and has just been – was unlucky last year. He's putting it together this year. He's a really good pitcher at this point with really good stuff. I think the K's there's still another gear in there for the K's to take a jump forward. And Philly is a team that can strike out plenty. So I don't mind Alex Cobb. I think because of where he's situated, just kind of between underneath Wheeler and above Montgomery, I don't think we get a ton of ownership here.
He's such a unique pitch mix with like the sinker-ish fastball splitter combo. It's just not a combo you see every day. So I think that's one of the reasons that his strikeout stuff is good. And he has a breaking ball as well. So I think both pitchers are very playable here in this game. Philadelphia bats. I mean, you could always take shots on Harper or Schwarber, but I don't think I'm doing it today.
Yeah, I don't think I am either. Just not a great ballpark for lefty power. Like, they're both expensive, Harper and Schwarber. All of Philly really is priced up. Definitely not a stack for me against Cobb. And even power bats, I guess Schwarber would be my favorite because he's 800 cheaper than Harper. But still don't love it. Stott's priced up. Brandon Marsh at 4,200, maybe if you're looking for a home run. But not something I'm doing very much.
And even on the Giants side, like with Jock Peterson gone now on the IL as well as Yaz. Or Yaz came back. That's right. Yaz got reinstated. Jock went on the IL. But I still think there's too many strikeouts in this lineup. The platooning, the only thing that you can make the argument for the Giants is they're just really cheap.
They are cheap, but it's still Wheeler. Like, Wheeler is a top 15 pitcher in baseball for me. Like, he struggled a little bit this year, but he'll turn it around. He will be one of the highest owned pitchers, I think. So maybe you could make the case for a leverage stack. I think I probably would just rather look for a home run or two against him rather than try to full stack and think that he gets blown up here. I'm definitely going to have a lot more Wheeler than San Francisco.
We finish it out with Minnesota at LA taking on the Dodgers. 7.5 total in this game. The Dodgers are a -215 favorite. Ober and Kershaw. Bailey Ober has not pitched bad to start the year. Granted, he's had a couple good matchups, and we talked about how, like, Cleveland hasn't been a great team. Finally got a tough matchup last time out against San Diego. I'd say it was an okay start. I don't think there was anything bad about the start. Dodgers are another level. Bailey Ober is a guy that I'm going to put on the shelf today, but if he goes out and he pitches well, I'm definitely going to be on notice.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like, I'm not taking for granted what he's done. It's just this pitching slate is pretty loaded in all ranges. 8,500 is a price I would be fine paying for Ober. Like, there is some strikeout upside here, but he gets the Dodgers, and that's not great. I don't think I need to take shots on him on this slate.
Listen, again, I respect what he's been doing. It's just the Dodgers are on a different level. They're very good. I mean, Pablo Lopez is a better pitcher than Ober, and Muncy, I think, took him deep. I know once, and I know he just hit another one. I just don't know if Lopez was still pitching or not. So you just look at this team on, like, Plate IQ, and it's just green. It's green. Walks are green. ISO's green. Woba's green. Like, it's just a tough spot. And, like, for what it's worth, Bailey Ober's advanced stats definitely say there's some regression coming. But anytime you get a 13% swinging strike rate guy, like, he can exceed that, like, regression. But we'll talk about Dodgers bats in a second. Clayton Kershaw. Dude's good. I mean, just continues to do it at such a high level. You know, I don't see a reason not to have interest in Kershaw today outside of price.
Yeah, I mean, like, we talked about Gausman, who's a little bit cheaper. Kershaw's the most expensive pitcher on DK. I think that helps his ownership. Like, people are going to play Wheeler and Gausman or drop down to the 7K range for Montgomery before they're going to be paying up for Kershaw, I think. There's respect for Minnesota's lineup, but Minnesota strikes out plenty. Like, it's an upside spot for Kershaw. Certainly there's risk against guys like Buxton. But I'm still interested in Kershaw. There's plenty left in the tank. Putting together yet another really good year. Minnesota strikes out a lot. I think he has the upside to pay off 11K, even though we have, like, Wheeler at 9,200, Gausman in the mid 10Ks. Like, they're point per dollar, I don't think he's going to grade out as well as those guys. So he's going to be lower owned than them. That makes me like him quite a bit for tournaments.
Doyle just hit a second home run for Colorado. His ownership's going to be bonkers tomorrow. man, makes me so sad. I was like, maybe, but yeah. Anyway. All right, bats. I got nothing on Minnesota today.
No, me either. Kershaw's not a guy that we like to pick on.
As far as the Dodgers, I think they're super interesting today. One, because they never get ownership because of the late game and people hate playing the late spot. I don't know why. because maybe they don't want to stay up and watch it. I don't know. But I think this is a really interesting spot. This guy gives up a ton of fly balls, And when you have a lineup with as much power as the Dodgers have, like, I think they're low on stack that nobody is playing today.
Yeah, I love that call. Like, they're expensive too, which, like, we've talked about plenty of cheap pitching. You can make it work. Muncy coming off of two home runs, maybe he grabs a little bit of ownership, but Outman got the day off. I expect him back in there. Love how he sets up here today. Will Smith, like, we've seen him above, like, in the $5,500 range before. He's only $4,600, so Will Smith might be one of my favorite hitters on the slate. Freeman at 5K is totally fine. Martinez being back just lengthens his order a little bit more. Yep. We have some cheap guys too, if we need to save some money and be able to fit them in. Vargas at 3,200, Hayward at 2,700. Austin Barnes probably catches. He usually catches Kershaw. We probably see Smith at DH and Barnes catching. Maybe Smith gets a day off, which would be a bummer because I really like his price tag. But Barnes is a cheap catcher if you need to punt that. I love the Dodgers call. Ober's a solid pitcher, but I don't think I quite buy what he's doing. And he's struggled with lefties a ton last year. He hasn't quite had that same problem. But guys like Outman and Freeman and Muncy, very interested.
Yeah, I mean, Muncy, a guy that's coming off of a big game on Monday night. Max Muncy started the season super hot, cooled down a little bit. Let this be like a turning point for him, and he's just going to keep hitting. So, all right, let's play the morning grind game. Now that we've gotten through the slate, this is such a fun slate. It's such a fun slate. A lot of ways to approach the slate. Under 8K to get six or more strikeouts. Who do you got today?
I'm going Jordan Montgomery. That Milwaukee strikeout rate against lefties this season, 31%, just insane. I know Montgomery has been down around 20% for the season. He's got more upside than that here in this matchup.
Taking my guy. Good inning from Kelly there. Struck out the side. Love it.
Nice.
I think the only other guy that I think I remotely have a chance in here is Lynn.
Yep.
Yeah. I guess I'll go Lance Lynn. Over 8K to score under 15. Who's your bust today?
Bailey Ober. Tough matchup against the Dodgers. Not quite buying what he's doing. Like you said, if he goes out and handles the Dodgers here on Tuesday night, then we need to be on notice for sure because he has clearly taken a leap forward. But I'll stick with Ober for now.
I'm going to go Justin Steele. Really tough matchup against Houston. All it takes is a few earned runs. He's not a guy that can really kind of make up the ground with the strikeouts. So Justin Steele is my fade today. Over 4,000 to hit home run, not in cores. Who's going yard today?
Christian Walker got the day off Monday.
Love it.
Should be refreshed. Love the matchup here against Mueller in this awful Oakland bullpen.
I love that call. I'm going to go with the hot bat of Max Muncy today. Just got done talking about the Dodgers. I think they're sneaky. I'm going to go Muncy. And, like, with Arenado and Devers, like, Riley, just, again, third base is a position where I don't think Muncy gets a lot of ownership today. Under 4K to get two hits, not in cores. Who do you got?
I'm looking for some cheap Oakland bats. Jordan Diaz at second base. He's 2,300. I am not scared of Henry. I'm gonna have some Oakland three-mans for sure and maybe even some five-mans. Diaz as a cheap second baseman, the guy I love.
I'm going to go right back to the well. Same guy I picked yesterday. Give me Gary L. from Arizona. He had a two-run homer. We'll see if he gets his second hit. I think he's walked a couple times, so hasn't necessarily got that second hit yet. I think he's 1-for-1 with a walk or two in that game. He had a home run, and he's got plenty of points. So I feel like you win when you do that. When you get a guy that has 20 points under 4K, you win. Even if he doesn't get a second hit, I win. I'm just kidding. Stack over six or more runs. Who do you got today?
It's the Diamondbacks. We're going to keep picking on this Oakland team. They're not going to get any better this season. So we're just going to keep picking on Oakland all year long. Arizona is in another fantastic spot.
Two of my favorite low-owned teams today, the Dodgers and the Texas Rangers. I don't think Texas is going to get a lot of love today. I really like the spot for Texas. I think that whichever lefty it ends up being, whether it's Dodd or Schuster, They've really struggled. Texas is a top-tier team against left-handed pitching. It's a great spot today for Texas. So we talked about Dodgers a minute ago. I think, man, I think the only like potential chalk that you're going to see batter-wise is Colorado and Cincinnati. Like, yep. I think after that, it's going to be very, very interesting to see if any other team pushes like 10%+ because of how spread out this slate is. So, Keith, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Don't have anything else. This is going to be a fun one, like you said. Lots of pitching options, better pitching options than Monday night. Worse pitchers in Coors, so it's even harder to fade Coors. But again, like Monday, plenty of elite offenses in good spots again.
All right, that's going to wrap it up here for Tuesday. Always appreciate everyone hanging out. If you haven't already, make sure you head on over to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind YouTube page. Subscribe. We're trying to get to 1,000 before the end of the year. It's May. We have a long time. But everyone that hits the subscribe button, it helps. So thanks you guys for hanging out. We'll be back tomorrow talking more baseball. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.